This is the Dermot and Dave Show podcast.
Dermot and Dave on Today FM. Something special is happening with a bride.
Yeah, we didn't think that anyone could be worse than our Maria.
Hey.
Who's preparing for her wedding in 2020.
Sorry, can I just quote Ronnie Shoga saying that I'm a really easy bride?
Yeah, that's because she had to get your engagement ring sorted.
Yeah.
You know, she doesn't have to DJ at your wedding. That's fresh. Totes fresh. Anyway, Maria, tell us this maniac bride.
This was posted to Facebook, right?
Yeah.
And it's like it was a group message that was sent out to all of the people that were invited to a wedding.
Okay.
So it says, this is from the bride-to-be. Hi, invitees to our wedding. After much reflection and tear-filled conversation with our closest family members, we have decided to cancel our upcoming winter wedding.
Oh.
It's very sad. We will further notify this group when we are in a better place to reschedule.
Okay.
So I got that far and thought, God, the poor couple, I wonder what happened.
Yeah. Trouble in paradise.
Then I went on to read, we thank each and every one of you for your generous early donations to our money fund. I can't believe this is a thing. Can you believe we have raised over 30 grand?
What?
Unbelievable. Don't worry, the money you've donated will not be spent in vain. But rather used towards a honeymoon in the coming months.
They're not even married.
That's called a holiday.
Yeah. After we regain financial stability and hold calm in our hearts after our honeymoon, we will announce a new wedding date and reopen our money fund for any further gifts. Weddings are expensive. You don't say. We are blessed to have generous family members who gave us these large donations.
Chumps.
It will help offset honeymoon costs and to scale an even better future wedding.
Why did we not think of this before? Just start a money fund and then get to do things that you'd like.
Thanks for paying for my trip to Norway.
Then it says, please stay tuned. In the meantime, I'll be updating our gift fund registry on Amazon. If anyone would like to gift us something to take on honeymoon... If you have any ideas on where we can go, please PM me or Edward. As mentioned, we will keep you updated when we are reopening our money fund and have a new wedding date in the works.
It's a holiday.
Don't be too sad. The new wedding is going to be a hit. Love you, Pam.
Oh, of course it'll be a hit. They've all paid for it.
Pam and Edward.
Why didn't they cancel their honeymoon?
I don't know. Why are they booking? They haven't even booked it yet. They're saying, tell us somewhere cool we can go with 30 grand.
Yeah, because now they're like, well, we had plans, obviously, to go to a regular place. But now that we're loaded...
Also,
and we've managed to raise this amount of money. Aren't we great?
Yeah.
One of the reasons they're not getting married is because they need to regain financial stability. I don't know. Don't go on a 30 grand honeymoon that someone else is paying for.
Before your wedding.
Yeah.
So they're going to have a honeymoon after the wedding, obviously.
And obviously they'll need to instill a sense of calm.
And then
after partying for 2 weeks in the Caribbean on your dollar.
And then they go, well... And actually, I could probably do with a new suitcase because my one's not big enough. So if you just go to Amazon and buy me that suitcase, I'll bring that with me. Thanks very much.
Maria printed out the screen grab of the Facebook post and there's only one comment that you can see at the top of it and it just goes, is this a joke?
That's the only thing it says.
Like,
I don't know what happens, people. Like,
bananas.
I think people just think, it's a bit like the communion or confirmation. That before it was an event that you might have got a few quid for, but it was an important event and people might give you some money. And then over time, for a lot of people, say, for instance, the confirmation, it's now nothing to do with the event. It's about the wedge. It's a time in your life when you get loads of cash.
Yeah.
So then you start zoning in on the money like the kids do. You go, how much money do you think we'll get? I'll get for the confirmation. Now that's happening with weddings where people go, it's the event. But obviously in this woman's mind, she has spent so long thinking about this thing coming up on the calendar where we were going to get loads of cash. She's forgotten about the wedding part. And now this is just sort of a big financial windfall that's in her calendar.
30 grand she has already.
But she's still going on the honeymoon. This I don't understand.
Book the wedding for a later date.
And she does not sound like the kind of woman who's not going to take a second honeymoon once the big wedding happens on everyone else's coin.
Guys, I've just finished setting up a money fund for each of my children for both communion and confirmation. If you could all just donate as much as possible, a couple of large donations I would expect just to get the ball rolling.
I do love the phrase money fund. I mean, it literally is not trying to pretend to be anything else. Just, this is a money fund.
I'm going to set up my own money fund today.
Yeah. It's not a gift
for
fund.
For my wedding.
It's It's not a wedding fund.
No, sure, you're invited. You should be paying.
Yeah, we should pay you to invite us
to the wedding. Yeah, I agree.
I already am, I thought. Are you not? I paid her 50 quid just to give me an invite.
Adele, someone like you, Dermot and Dave on Today FM. What you can't see during that performance by Adele is Dermot miming the piano on
air piano
sheets of paper, which are slightly rustling, taking away from the beautiful piano recording. But yeah, but he's giving it sucks.
I play pro sheets.
Lads, is Maria pregnant? This is the question that's coming in on all of Today FM social media channels and text message channels, because she's got a serious case of baby brain, says Stephen and Claire.
It's not, I'm just a bit sick.
Aww. Oh, morning sickness. Ooh, more of it. More of it, guys.
I absolutely am not.
Yeah, and she's been picking me up and cradling me to her bosom all morning. It's, frankly, it's just awkward.
Dermot and Dave on Today FM, 087-4100-102. WhatsApps and text messages. Someone says, Dermot and Dave, maybe it should be a day of national day of mourning for the late Gay Byrne. Am I being ridiculous?
I don't think so. I mean, he was so interweaved into the fabric of our society. And, you know, people talk about shows like Game of Thrones now and that kind of thing, you know, where the next day it's the total water cooler chat of, did you see it last night? I mean, it was that by a thousand with the Late Late Show.
Yeah.
I mean, literally half the country was watching this thing on a Friday night. And because Gay Byrne was so brave in the stuff that he wanted to tackle, it seems ridiculous now, but that famous show where they were, you know, opening condoms and showing them on television.
Yeah,
because
imagine.
Our backward nation hadn't been really allowed access to them before. So, you know, when you consider those things, they were real huge talking points and scandalous affairs that broke and were exposed on the show. You never knew what you were getting on a Friday night.
Absolutely
and
not.
Certainly Gay Byrne was at the helm and at the forefront of talking about all these kinds of things that the show covered over the years.
Whatever about a national day of mourning, the Dublin Lord Mayor Paul McAuliffe has opened a book of condolence for Gay Byrne. He's a free man of Dublin as well. You can pay your respects at the Mansion House in Dawson Street today from 11 to 5 and tomorrow between 10 and 5.
A man who appeared with Gay on the Late Late Show many times, Irish footballing legend Paul McGrath is on the line. How are you, Paul?
Not too bad at all, Dave. How are you?
It's Dermot here, actually. Thanks for talking to us
Dermot.
Today.
Sorry.
No problem at all.
I've got one of these, right?
Yeah. Don't worry, but we're interchangeable, Paul.
Yeah, you tweeted yesterday, Paul, that, that you know, he had always been a good supporter of you. What did you mean by that?
Well, I just, you know, the way, obviously, I think diversity and having people of different colour on his stage didn't seem to matter to him and stuff like that, so... And I think one of the first coloured people he probably had on with that the whole show was dedicated to. So that to me showed his excuse the expression, his true colour sort of thing. You know, he wanted everyone to enjoy what he was brilliantly gifted at, which was enabling everyone to have a voice and to be able to talk and discuss things. And he was one of the best interviewers that I've ever... I grew up watching him, you know. I'm of a certain age now, when even black and white TV, I'm on Friday night, you'd be watching Gay Byrne talk to all sorts of people. And to then have a show dedicated to you, I thought was outrageous and ridiculous. Well, I still loved it.
It was in 1997, I think that was. Did you know it was going to be a tribute to you, or were you just going in for a quick chat?
No, I was going in for a quick chat. I had no idea whatsoever, and I just thought, and I kept saying it to my wife at the time, Caroline. I just said, look, now we will be out in 5 minutes. There's cameras there and stuff like that. I'll just say what time we're playing, and then we'll get out. And then I walk in, and half of Birmingham's sitting in the studio. But it was the loveliest thing that had ever been done for me. And I think for Gay, I think it was breaking down that situation of, you know, the black and white thing and stuff like that. And he was brilliant. And any time I'd met him in Dublin, him and Kathleen in Dublin, they had this thing where Kathleen, I think, was the one who used to ask me questions whatever function we were at. And she'd soften me up, and suddenly then Gay'd come over, and he'd collect what he needed for whatever you know, they were a wonderful couple, and they just made you feel comfortable. And I wasn't back in those days, I wasn't very comfortable with talking with too many people. But they had a way of just, you know, sweeping you up in a conversation and making headway.
Yeah, we have actually a little clip of you on that show in 97. Let's have a listen.
Oh dear.
How are you then?
Not too bad.
Not too bad. That's Jack Charlton, and that's Jimmy McGee.
That yes.
And that's Caroline. You're well, are you?
Yeah, not too bad.
We've sort of pulled a fast one on you. Sorry about that.
I thought as much, yeah. So
there's a few people here who want to say things about you and all of that, and your testimonial year. Do you think you've slowed down at all, or getting doubts about that?
No, I think I'm as quick as ever. Obviously.
Paul McGrath with the quick answers.
Yeah, put on the spot there, in fairness. But I think there were certain people that you could always see that Gay Byrne had, you know, more time than others, perhaps, for. And you were certainly one of them. You could definitely tell he had a major soft spot for you. Sinead O'Connor was another person who you got a sense that he took it upon himself to mind certain individuals, or felt like, you know, that he wanted to mind certain people. And maybe you were one of them.
Yeah, I honestly have to say that, because I think he understood that I was a little bit vulnerable, and I'm sure with Sinead as well. But I think, you know, in those sorts of instances, I think he understands you only need, you know, you just need a bit of a push or a hand up to bring you back to life and stuff like that. So he was very delicate with me, like, and stuff. And I loved him for it, because he knew I didn't like TV and stuff like that, and I wouldn't be saying too much and stuff like that, but he always filled in the gaps for me and kept the show rolling. So it was just an amazing night for me, and I think he had that empathy with people who maybe aren't as quick with the wit and stuff like that, and he always threw his tuppence in, and it made everything better for us.
Yeah,
like,
Paul,
you know.
Paul Dermot's been doing that for me for 17 years, filling all my blanks, so I know exactly what you mean. Listen, Paul McGrath, thank you so much for taking the time today to pay a tribute to Gay Byrne. Really appreciate it.
Absolute pleasure.
All right, take
absolute
care.
Take care.
Cheers,
take
bye-bye.
Care.
Time 4 weeks ago, we met three people from all around Ireland who had something in common. They all wanted to change their lives and get fit by Christmas. And over the last 3 weeks, we, each of our participants, Emma from Cork, Mark from Donegal, and Kate from Tip, but living in Dublin, are being set a challenge. This week, it was Mark from Donegal's turn. So how did he get on? Well, our Sean went to find out.
It's week 4 of Fit by Christmas, and the participants are already starting to feel and see the change. But given that it's the halfway point, personal trainer Ronan Murphy from Viking Built has decided to shake things up a bit. Over the next 3 weeks, he'll give Mark, Emma and Kate a challenge that they must complete. The aim of this is to get them over that halfway slump. Here is Ronan explaining what's involved.
Okay, well, the idea of challenges is basically to keep the ball rolling and try and hit things from a different angle and a fresh angle, because we're at the 4 week mark, and it's now when people start to wane slightly and they kind of think, oh yeah, look, I'm up and running now, I can get away with an extra cheat meal or whatever. So I suppose it's just a different way of keeping the foot on the neck and keeping them things ticking over nicely. The idea of the challenge with Mark was basically to get Mark a little bit more out of his own skin.
So what was Mark's challenge?
Okay, well, given the fact that Mark works fairly ad hoc hours in the ambulance service, so I figured, okay, well, look, if Mark is working ad hoc hours, there's a hell of a lot of people out there in the country who are also working similar hours that aren't 9 to 5. So he always had the ability to train at kind of stupid o'clock. So while we're all in bed, he's hammering away on a workout at 2 a.m. So in order to kind of bring light to the fact that it's still doable, despite the fact that people are working late shifts and things, he could still do a workout at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. And we just wanted him to show that. So I challenged him to do 10 burpees when he came off shift. I think it was at about 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. And then stick it up on Instagram and challenge someone else to do the same at crazy o'clock.
So how did Mark get on in his challenge? I caught up with him earlier today and he filled me in on all the details.
It was a really hard week, as I'd had 4 out of 5 late finishes all week. So I found it really hard to squeeze the training in after work. Morning times, kind of doesn't really work for me. So if I don't do it after work, then it's really hard for me to squeeze it on. The burpees challenge video was done at 1:20 on Saturday morning, kind of Saturday night, sorry, Sunday morning, as I had a 2 hour late finish. So when I came home, I found it really difficult to motivate myself. I did squeeze in a 20 minute workout after that as well, and I felt all the better for doing it. The diet side of things has been going really well for me. This is something I thought I'd struggle with more, but it's been relatively smooth sailing, apart from the odd little square of dark chocolate here and there. Week four was definitely the hardest to date with fitting in workouts around my work, I have to say. I have a run of night shifts coming on now next week, so it means I can plan my gym sessions better, which is good for me. I have challenged Dave from the Dermot and Dave show to do the burpees challenge, and also a friend of mine, Shane Fitzgibbon, who runs a martial arts class in Galway. I want Dave to do his live on air if possible, and Shane is going to do his with his taekwondo class at 7 p.m. on Wednesday evening. No pressure there, Dave, doing it on live on air.
So now that Mark's challenge is over, who's up next?
Oh, we've got Emma lined up. Emma, she's a little food stylist. One of the things I have the guys doing is putting up photos of everything they eat and drink. So in order to keep them honest with themselves and also within the group. So we've got a nice little challenge for Emma next week, and it'll be food related.
You can see the video of Mark's challenge on Today FM's Instagram story right now, and keep up to date with all the latest workouts and meal plans for Mark, Kate and Emma on todayfm.com/fitbychristmas.
What's this dragging me into his workout challenge?
Oh, Dave, that was a clear challenge. You have been claimed in the world of fitness.
You know what the faces I make when I do burpees. You've trained with me. I my demeanor changes.
Anyone who doesn't know, a burpee is where you throw yourself down on the ground and then you get back up and you jump up into the air and then you throw yourself back on the ground again and you repeat ad nauseum, like literally ad nauseum until you get sick. But I've seen Dave do these. Now, the first one is always quite impressive, and then after that it's downhill because you do go through the motions, but it's slow motions.
So slow. And then getting off the ground in the jump is practically impossible after number three.
It's not even a jump. If you can imagine someone who's wearing lead boots that are welded to the floor and then they mime a jump.
Yeah,
that's what he does.
I make the physical movement of a jump. I just don't jump.
Come on, you've got...
No, I'm not allowed to do it now.
You're 3 minutes. He said you've got to do it on air. You've got scar tissue here, the length of Red Hot Chili Peppers. Scar tissue is perfect. In fact, the first song we're going to play is Scar Tissue and the following one is The Bones. So pretty apt for this exercise.
Come right, on. Okay.
When was the last time you did a burpee?
2018.
Do one now. Do one now while the mics are up. And don't be pretending.
Well,
as soon as you play a song and then pretending to be out of breath when it's over.
Always impressive. So I'll go on. Find an impressive one now. Boing.
There. Now, nine more.
Yeah.
You can't just do one burpee.
Chili peppers on
Today FM. It's like having one chocolate out of a chocolate box. You gotta do more.
Todayfm.com/fitbychristmas. Okay, how many more are we gonna do?
Nine. Now, we're talking about Bridezilla because on the show yesterday, our Marie was telling us about a woman called Pam who has become rather famous on the internet for all the wrong internet reasons.
Yeah.
Incredible attitude to her own wedding. But just bring it up to speed if you missed it, right? This is how her post that she put out to all her wedding guests on Facebook. This is how it went. After much reflection and tear-filled conversation with our closest family members, we have decided to cancel our upcoming winter wedding. We will further notify this group when we are in a better place to reschedule. At this point, the message sounded quite sad, yeah. Sincere, and yeah. You're wondering, wow, I hope they're okay. She says, we thank each and every one of you for your generous early donations to our money fund. This isn't like a gift, the money fund. Can you believe we have raised over $30,000? And then she goes on to say that they're going on a honeymoon anyway with all the money.
And any suggestions for where they might go on their $30,000 honeymoon?
Yeah. And if she finishes off the message by saying, don't be too sad, the new wedding is going to be a hit. Reassuring all those people who had now just paid for a fake honeymoon.
Yeah. So that was to all the people that had donated.
Yeah.
to let them know, you know.
Yeah, their money wasn't going to waste.
No, God, no.
They're going to spend it on an amazing honeymoon and then come back and ask for more money to spend on another wedding.
She said she would be reopening the money fund ahead of the new wedding date.
So I'm going to read you some of the comments that came after, because obviously when we came to this yesterday, there wasn't these comments.
There was one or two that was on. Yeah.
So her friend wrote under it, Pam, what did I tell you about day drinking? In all seriousness, is the wedding really cancelled? I've already gotten time off for December 1st, which is less than a month away.
Yeah.
And there was a couple of other comments then saying, what the actual, and all these, you know, curse words and everything. And she replied, all, please calm down. You're making me feel very attacked and hanged up on. You chose to donate to me. If I want to use the money, who cares how? I told you the wedding is getting rescheduled, not cancelled. And then it's followed by various different family members asking her to call them back or answer her phone. And she says, why am I calling anyone? I've told you in the nicest possible way that the wedding will be rescheduled at a later date. Don't you all have better things to do? Then a rich uncle. So all the names are blocked out. So you just get the, you know, the family member. So this is her rich uncle. You aren't responding to my calls or texts, so I'm just going to tell you here. You are to return my more than generous 12 grand donation.
Oh my God.
On behalf of my family in 1 week. If on the 13th of November, I do not see the money in my bank account, I will be seeing you in court. This is unacceptable and is betrayal towards your family members. And she wrote back, hey, hey, no reason to get all lawyery on me right now. Let's think about this. You will be attending my wedding for sure, just on a different date. We'd like to use the money for various undisclosed personal purposes until then. All righty?
All righty is how you respond to a threat of a legal action.
He said, my donation was given under the fair assumption that you and Edward would be married on the 1st of December and that my entire family would attend. We donated early and trusted that you respect that. You've broken your plans and we want our cash back now. And then she said, look, what difference does it make if I use the money fund now or later? If I was going to scam my family, don't you think I'd be more sneaky? And he just wrote back, I'd like my money back. Then she has this bridesmaid that obviously is her total best friend.
Okay.
And wrote, hey girly, I hope you're doing okay. I only gave 200, so I don't care what you do with it, but just to be clear, this is all I could really afford, so please enjoy it. To everyone else giving her ultimatums, could you please consider Pam's feelings here and just know she isn't conning anyone. She just needs to reschedule. And then the bride wrote under it, oh, thank you. I don't know why everyone's so upset at me. Could you help me try and knock some sense into them? Girl, I'm so stressed out with this right now.
Oh my God, it's the stress of stealing people's money.
I know. And then there's like the groom's people are replying as well. So the grandmother of the groom, grandmother, please answer your phone. The bride wrote back, right now I can't. Edward and I have a lot to deal with right now. The grandmother said, it will take 5 minutes. Please answer it. And the bride said, read my update.
Oh my God.
To his granny. Like, respect.
Edward needs to pull on a pair of big boy pants and sort this out.
I know. Then there's another groom's friend is like on an absolute mad one. Like, there's so many curses in it. I don't even think I could try and read it. But the bride came and posted this after all of this back and forth with everybody.
So this is the latest update.
This is the latest. Everyone, I'm here to address each and every one of you. I will not be accepting calls or replying to texts or emails. Edward and I have been bombarded with them all day and night. Someone has even taken my post out of context and put me on blast on the tabloid website Reddit, which is where I'm getting it from.
Amazing. Tabloid
website. Now my name has been tarnished and left out to rot, and to think I trusted you. Now, you've whittled me away until I am shaken with tears. Edward had to bring me to urgent care because I felt lightheaded and distraught. Not fun. The bill came out at $765.
Which I'll be taking out of the money fund. What?
Thank God you will be forced to pay for that with the money fund.
Oh my God.
I will need to take an extra week off life in order to recover. I'm going to embark on a social media, phone and internet blackout. Do not contact me. I need to put my emotional zen first. I need to fully heal from the emotional damage I've endured as a result of the slanderous attack from my own family and friends. And you can effing foot the $2,000 bill. I don't care.
Oh my God.
Once I recover, I will decide when we can all talk in person to discuss the situation. I hope to have a wedding, but I'm not sure if this trust may be rebuilt. In the meantime, please consider donating any spa or personal care items to my home address. If you even care about me at all. We've lost close to $3,000 from the money fund due to medical expenses, and we would like the more affluent members of the family to consider donations as a courtesy.
Oh my God.
Remember, I will be on a social media blackout starting in an hour. You can contact my fiance if you must. As Genghis Khan once said, silence isn't empty, it's full of answers. And this is the last comment that I will read, and it's from her mother. And it says,
her mother.
No, Pam, this isn't the response we talked about. You're letting your emotions get the best of you, but I'm your mother, and if you don't answer, I'm coming over there now. Let's get this sorted out, honey.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, my God.
I was going to say, coming up after 11 o'clock, this begs for all bad jokes, but nothing's going to beat this, lads. Like, literally nothing.
Who finishes a tirade with a quote from Genghis Khan? Like,
one of the world's biggest murderers ever.
My favourite is the mother. This is not the response we talked about.
Dave's World, Dave's World. If we don't let him do it, he gets ratty. Right, a couple of rugby ones to start off for you, Dermot.
Okay.
What do you call an Englishman holding a bottle of champagne after the Rugby World Cup? A waiter. Thomas says, my local greengrocer has a contract to supply root vegetables to the South African rugby team for their World Cup celebration dinner tonight. I thought, that's a turnip for the box. God.
Terrible.
Okay, Emily sent me this. This is the world's oldest recorded joke ever, right? Some book in Anglo-Saxon poetry has this. What hangs at a man's thigh and wants to poke the hole that has often poked before? A key. Anglo-Saxon laughter. Excellent.
Now, Maria cut his head off.
Stephen says, I have a split personality, said Tom, being frank.
Terrible.
Ferg said, did you hear about Jesus? He went out for a walk one night and got run over by a speedboat.
Ancient.
Yeah, it's 2,000 years
biblical,
old.
Biblical, yeah.
Davey says, is there rehab for gossiping? I don't need it, but come here, I'll tell you who does.
I love that one.
Connor says, my grandfather could speak to ghosts who would tell him what size clothes to wear. He was a medium.
God.
You love it, Maria. Klee says, I have a terrifying joke about maths, but I'm too square to tell it.
Too square.
Thomas says, I once dated a one-legged girl who worked in a brewery. She was in charge of the hops.
God.
Sorry. To all the one-legged listeners, I do apologise for a joke. Patter says, a bloke in the pub last night claimed he once got his dog to retrieve a stick from 100 miles away. I thought to myself, that's a bit far-fetched.
Come on. I saw that coming.
What is this? Obvious pun day?
No, it's bad jokes. It's never new. It's always the same.
Obvious pun special.
Karen says, I want to be buried with all my records. It'll be my vinyl resting place.
He's out of control.
Jacqueline says, what cheese is made backwards?
Edam. Edam. Made. Edam. You dropped in a clever one there.
Valerie says, what's green and fuzzy and if it fell out of a tree would kill you? A snooker table.
That's funny.
Berg says, I brought my cross-eyed dog to the vet. He picked him up, took one look at him and said, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to put him down. I said, what? Well, because he's cross-eyed. No, because he's too heavy. Ben says, I was in a shoe shop and I said to the assistant, it's too tight. She said, oh, try it with the tongue out. That's no good. It's too tight. And finally on Dave's Run Bad Jokes today, Patter says, my mate built himself a shelf where he keeps his premium vodka collection. Absolute ledge.
Homework. What are your memories of homework as a child? Do we look back fondly and go, God, I'd love to be sitting down for a good old history essay. I know it's going to take me 3 hours on a Sunday evening.
I'm still doing homework. I'm just doing it now with my kids. Like, I've still got homework every day I go home. Right, let's get our bags out, guys. Let's do the homework. Come on, stop playing football. Let's do homework.
It does have its benefits, though. I have recently properly learned algebra and realised that I never properly understood it. And that's why I struggle so much.
You've got it from doing homework with your kids.
Doing homework with my kids. And I was like, oh, this is how you do it. This makes way more sense.
So are their teachers teaching it better? Or are you just approaching it as an adult going, oh yeah, I get that
now. Makes logical sense, yeah.
I suppose, yeah, when you have to explain it to your child, you have to make sure that you know it on some level. And then you end up learning it more yourself.
Someone did send an algebra bad joke yesterday in. I didn't get a chance to do it, but it was like, hey, Mr. Algebra, stop trying to get us to find your ex. She doesn't like you anymore.
Yes. The reason we're talking about homework and listening to pretty terrible jokes is because a Dublin primary school, you might have heard this morning, Loretto Primary in Rathfarnham in South Dublin, has decided to get rid of homework. Now, this is in the primary school. Okay. Well, there is a secondary school, but this is primary school, and it goes right up until sixth class. And then they kind of go, well, we have to prepare the kids for what's coming down the tracks in secondary school, so all their fluffy plans go out the window. But I think it's a great idea. And they say the teachers find they've more time during the day for more contact time with the children. Instead of trying to organise homework and get it corrected, give it back and talk to the child about it. So it's actually, you know, in a way, it's kind of like this movement across the globe for the four-day working week that they're trying out everywhere, right?
Mm.
And we should be trying out here. It's basically better time management, better resource management. And that when you free up yourself physically and mentally, you are then in a better position to be more productive. And that's what all that is. And this is why they're doing it. This is a bid to make pupils more productive. And it's happening. It's working.
But like when I do homework with my kids, they do come across concepts that they don't understand from that day's school. And then we sit down and we explain it and then they get it.
Like, yeah, but why are you doing it? They could be doing that in school, but they have.
They didn't, because they were in school and they didn't happen.
Yeah, because the teacher doesn't have time because they're caught up correcting so much stuff.
No, you still need practice. You need to take your subjects and go, right, well, now I want to see if, you know, do I understand, like, for my 4-year-olds, like, yesterday we're doing sounding of words, like, p-a-t, and one of them went, tap, and I went, oh no, and we had to go back for ages and go, it starts with p, and like, you know what I mean? That's just repetition. It helps.
Well, that's because that's all you know. That's what you grew up with. And I think as parents and as adults, we need to get over the, well, that was the way it was in my day. And the essentially the brainwashing we've had since we were kids, because our parents were brainwashed.
Mm.
And we all have settled in and still continue in the 21st century to use the school system that was designed to train people to work in factories in the Industrial Revolution. Like, I think it's time we had a look at it and did stuff like this school. And actually, like, here's the school. And they're saying, obviously, you know, with parents, you know, parents are like yourself, kind of going, well, no, you know, it's a system now. Why? It's not broke. Why would we? I mean, surely it's good for something. That's their biggest stumbling block, is actually getting parents to go with it and see that the kids are happier, they're less stressed, and they're more productive. Even though that flies in the face of everything that we have been taught.
I don't think that I would have learned anything in school if I didn't have homework. I think, just for me, and maybe this is just my personality, but in school, when the teacher was teaching, I kind of was only paying half attention.
Yeah.
And then when I went home and had to do it by myself, then I learned it. So if I didn't have that, my own headspace and my own time to myself to look at something and do it myself, I don't think I would have learned.
But couldn't you have gotten that in school?
Well, no, because
if the day was arranged differently, so you're doing your homework essentially in school.
But there's still a lot of other people around and distraction. And
boys. Do you want your own classroom?
I was a talker. I want my own classroom and my own teacher, please. No, because even if I had that, I just rely on the other person to do it. Whereas if I'm at home and I'm looking at something, I absolutely have to understand that to get my whatever task it is I'm doing done. Then I apply my mind to it.
You know what my question would be, right? So Dermot, if you think this is the future, this is the way we should be doing it, would you be happy for your kids to be the first ones to do it?
Yeah.
Really?
To have no homework.
And like,
yeah, well, now it is, we should point out they do a little bit of oral work, which is their like spellings and their their 10 times tables and all that. You still do that kind of stuff. So there is some light work, but you don't have that bulk of that school bag coming out in the here we go.
And well, I think it gets you ready for life. It isn't easy, okay. But life's not easy. Well, and I think if you go on after school and you go to college, and like college is a billion times worse than secondary school, but then so is work.
It's not. I don't think college is, because it's a lot more freedom there and you have a lot more control.
Yeah, but
you're already doing subjects that you have chosen and that you have a certain amount of interest in, which makes studying easier. But let's just look at homework. Like when you look at what's happening our teenagers, right? And obviously this story we're talking about is for primary school, but let's just extrapolate out homework in general, say across secondary school. And the big thing, it's an epidemic with our teenagers at the moment. And I have a teenager, he's 13 at the moment. I'm just seeing the beginning of this. It's an epidemic of anxiety and stress. And homework is one of the major contributors. I was looking at my son and, he's gone from primary school homework, which might take a half an hour or an hour at the most, to like 2 hours or 3 hours. He's got these big, constantly coming home with projects to do. And I was looking at him and I said, if I had a job where I had to be in work at 8:30 and I got home and finished at 4:30 and then I got home around 5 or 5:30, and then I was facing into 2 or 3 more hours of work, I would quit that job. Because I know if I didn't quit that job, I would start suffering the signs of stress, anxiety and burnout. And when you look at the teenagers who are suffering at the moment, they are exhibiting classic symptoms of burnout and stress and work overload. And we're making them do it. And the teachers are making them do it. And the system is set up to burn them out at a really young age.
Did we not all do that? Why are you saying it's an epidemic now?
Yeah, but like,
was it not just tough for us as well?
Yeah, it's a stupid idea.
But I don't think getting rid of homework is the answer. I think maybe reduce the hours in school. I think you absolutely need to be able to go home and do something yourself without the assistance of the teacher. Otherwise, you're not going to learn. You're just going to go, did that in school, done, over, gone. You have to do it by yourself. You have to be in a room by yourself. You have to sit and apply your mind to it, which you don't do that fully in school, because you're just going, well, if I don't know the answer, I'll just ask the teacher.
Yeah, but that's why my point is the day that the system is set up wrong. First of all, why are we doing all those subjects up to the Leaving Cert? All of them. That's a major contributor to the homework, is that you have far too many subjects. Why are we not drilling down
a day or something,
and focusing on what kids are actually interested in? So they're not spending hours and stuff they will never look at ever again in their lives, that a lot of it they don't need.
But that's kind of my point. It's like, so when I was saying, would you let your kids be the first ones not to do homework? What I mean is the system is geared in a certain way, which is like, you burn out, do your work, get to the Leaving Cert and do it, because that's what you absolutely need to do to get through the education system. So if a single school or a bunch of schools go, we're not going to do it because we want to look after the well-being of the kids and whatever, then are those kids going to suffer long term? Well, in terms of what they can qualify for or what colleges they can go to or anything like that.
Yeah, but I suppose it's a bigger question, because the way we're learning, when you and I were doing our Leaving Cert, the working environment was completely different. The way kids get hired now, the kind of jobs they do, the kind of work days they will have are completely different. But the school system is still this rigid block of training people to work in factories, and it's not right. And homework is part of that. But I think the main issue is that we can't, on the one hand, go, you know, put up posters around a school saying, are you suffering from stress? Talk to the guidance counsellor, or come and talk to us, talk about your mental health. But then keep them in an environment like that and send them home with 2 or 3 hours homework where they are overwhelmed and burnt out, like any person in a job who's working too much. In our own corporate environments, people are saying, you know your boundaries, introducing new systems of no emails after 5 o'clock, you know, and this is the new way. But our schools aren't doing anything to change that. And, you know, we're watching our kids get stressed out and burnt out, and then we're putting up posters to help them.
What do you guys think? 087-4100-102, WhatsApps and text messages, get them in. There's loads coming in. We'll get to them in a few minutes. Totally agree with Dermot's terrible system. Just because we were put through it doesn't mean it's right, says someone. 087-4100-102.
We also had no seatbelts.
Do you want to bring that back as well?
Do you want your kids to be the first ones to wear stupid seatbelts?
Oh, sure. Listen, getting thrown from the back of the car to the front of the car was part of growing up. Yeah, it made a man of us.
Right, loads of text in on 087-4100-102 about homework. Some of them agreeing with Dermot, who thinks that this school in Rathfarnham, who has banned homework basically for everyone except 6th classers. Someone says, I've got 3 kids, 4, 6 and 8. It's a fight every single evening to try and get them to do the homework. Even my 4-year-old in preschool is getting sounds home in the evening to do it. Leave it to the teachers, says that person. But someone else says, I couldn't disagree more with this decision. There's a mountain of research into how we learn and the benefits of reinforcing learning after a short break, i.e. after a snack, after school, and the benefits of doing some review again before sleep, like reading before bed. Doing these things has proven to create stronger memories because it stores the learning in the long-term memory rather than the short-term memory. So stopping homework is a bad move.
I think whatever about the effects of homework, I'm talking about what is essentially a work-life balance. Mm. And all the talk at the moment is about how that getting that right helps us to learn better, helps us to be more productive, helps us to be happier and healthier. If you're a kid and you're in school all day from 8:30 to 4:30 and you're getting home in the early evening time, you eat something and then you spend another 2 or 3 hours, that's not a work-life balance. That's someone getting burnt out. So maybe the answer is some element of restructuring of the day, like we do in our jobs as adults. Like I said, if someone suggested a teenager, say in fifth year or fourth year, doing the junior cert, if someone suggested their working day to me, I would tell you to go and take a run and jump for yourself. So why are we expecting our kids, as their brains are developing, to work to a schedule that is completely unsustainable?
I think some people will argue that they are being forced as adults to work to a schedule that's completely...
Yeah, but we have an element of choice. We can quit.
Yeah.
You know, or we can change jobs.
Your mortgage says otherwise.
Yeah, well, you can find another job, in the right environment. You know, obviously it's tough. That can't be said for everybody, but our kids don't have a choice. You know, they're getting it from both sides, from their parents and from the teachers. And they're stuck in the middle with these incredibly long working days, which will burn them out.
There's a text in that says, Dave and Maria are exhibiting very common attitudes. We did it and it didn't do us any harm. Mental health problems are rife in the country and stress and anxiety a major contributing factor. Stress doesn't harden you up or make you resilient. That's a myth. But I think, I'm not saying we did it, so, you know, if it's good for us, it's good for them type of thing. What I'm saying is they need to be able to do this stuff by themselves. This teaches them things that
learning.
They need beyond what they're physically learning on the page. I think they need, like, some of the things that they get for homework actually teach them little life lessons in how they're meant to behave in certain situations or, you know, like that kind of thing. I'm not saying we did it, so they have to do it exactly the same as what we did. It's not that. Maybe their day can be shorter, but they absolutely need to have homework to do by themselves.
Dawn is on the line. How are you, Dawn?
Hello.
Where are you today?
I'm good.
Whereabouts in the country are you?
I'm in Rathcrea, the town around about.
Lovely. But a good McDonald's.
It is a great McDonald's.
Yeah. Come here, did you go to a school where you didn't have homework?
No, I had homework. I went to school in Dublin and I got hours and hours of it as well.
Right. And so what do you think?
Well, it is important. I do get what the different opinions are, but like, when my kids went to the Isle of Man schools, they went home then and they read and they did their spellings and their tables and they got an extra hour in school and they covered off all the basics and then they played and had fun.
Okay, right. So they still essentially did the same working day, but they basically, when they got home, they had more free time at home, more playtime.
Yeah, and even from a young age, like when they start over there, they're in till half three. You know, they're doing a full day like they would do in secondary school, even from primary. Even from, you know, the age of...
Junior infants, yeah.
Or, yeah, junior infants onwards. But the difference is that you know, the extra hour in school meant that the teacher was able to help them. They were able to do their own work. They got a lot of work to do themselves. But, like, you know, I agree. You go on about work-life balance as you get older, and then we're not teaching it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what do you think of that, Maz? If you were still doing the homework, but it's just happening in school, which means that mentally and psychologically, when you get home from school, you're free.
I wouldn't disagree with that.
You were more distracted, though, in the school environment.
I was, because...
Well, no, and the only thing I would say is when they did the extra hour in school, they did actually get work. Because I do agree, they do need to do the work themselves. And you have to have that kind of element of focus on what they're doing. But that's what they did in school. But it meant when they came home, they went, okay, that's that portion of what I'm doing for the day. Now I'm going to be creative or play or go do something with my family rather than spend another 2-3 hours going through books with a parent who everything's different now and they're struggling to learn.
They haven't
what
a clue what they're doing.
Anyway.
All right, Don. Thanks so much.
All right.
See you later. Bye-bye. I'll tell you what, I'll come around to your argument, Dermot, if this is what it does. Someone says, Jesus, banning homework would finally put an end to the class WhatsApp drama every day. Could someone please explain what the maths homework is? Mary forgot to write it down. That's all homework is in my house, Les. Your thoughts, 087-4100-102 for WhatsApps and for text messages. We're talking about a school in Rathfarnham, a national school that has banned homework for everybody except 6 classers. And we're talking about that today, and people have got different opinions. Audrey, you're studying education, are you?
I am, yeah, here in Blue.
Right, a master's in education.
Yeah.
So you're right up there at the top. Well done.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I'm only coming, I did my undergrad in Waterford, so it's a big step.
That's great.
Good on you. Master's is very impressive. What's your thoughts on homework?
It's a big topic in, the course at the moment. So I can't talk about it in philosophy and sociology, and, it's not particularly favoured. It's not fair on the students. I think, it should be used as a recap, but, not to the extent that they're given every evening. They should be able to apply their skills, apply their knowledge to the work, but, not to the extent that they're given now. And I think that school has, the right idea about it, because they should be taught correctly throughout the day and not having to teach themselves at night time, if you get me.
Do you think, though, that because of the way the system currently is, it's kind of the only answer?
System is a total, it's just, it needs a big, big change. It's just because, we've done it and, parents have done it and, people of the society have done it, it shouldn't be the way it is now. Education is constantly changing. The society is constantly changing and it needs to be changed. But the problem is parents, parents don't want that change because they feel like that's what they've been through. But, it's not the way it is now. There's active learning, there's teamwork, there's team teaching, there's think fair share. It shouldn't be as chalk and talk as it is,
Yeah, well, I would have to agree. I think the Leaving Cert, it does have a lot of benefits. It has functioned for many years because that's what society demanded and that's what the working environment was. But as you say, you know, kids aren't being trained for the environments that they're actually going into. Environments, you know, in the modern tech companies where it's a lot more team-based, a lot more project-based, freedom and having to have control over their own working hours. And they're just not trained for it. They're trained for a more rigid factory environment, clock in, clock out.
Yeah, it was literally, I think it was made in the industrialized kind of age, So, they were made just to, work that much. And, sure, it's all, you know, your own. It's your own personal learning. But, it's just, the Leaving Cert is so structured and everything. And, it shouldn't be the be-all, end-all. We shouldn't be oh, no, if homework does, if we don't get homework, we're not, our students, our children won't be ready for the Leaving Cert. It's Leaving Cert needs to change, not because they don't have homework. The Leaving Cert shouldn't be so... extensive. It shouldn't be so difficult. It shouldn't stop people from going into careers just because, oh God, they didn't get enough points out of 7 or 9 subjects and they constantly add it every night, every weekend. They've no life. I went through it myself. You lose hair, you lose everything. And it's just it's not healthy for you. And it's not healthy for children of today's society.
So you found you were actually losing your hair from the stress of school?
Yeah, I lost most of my hair, and I suffer really bad with eczema. But when I moved into college, I was still stressed because, like, just from leaving cert, then going straight into college, my hair is still falling out from the leaving cert. And I got a wheelchair bathroom in my, like, you know, like, area that I was staying in the, on campus. And I flooded my whole room because the hair went straight into the drain and the whole bathroom flooded.
Oh, God.
And
poor thing.
So, what helped you get over that and help the physical symptoms of stress dissipate with you? How did things change?
You just kind of have to, you kind of have to know what you need. Like, you kind of have to, like, think back and think, like, after all this, like, I'm literally here, you know, like, anyone could get into this. And I feel like, you know, there were so many different ways I could have went into college, but I stressed myself over so much just to get into the course. Like, I can say, oh, well, like, lucky for you, like, you studied and got into your master's. But there's so many different ways, like, there's so many different paths you can get into what you want to do. It shouldn't be leaving, like, you know, junior cert, leaving cert, like, college, master's. Like, you just have to, like, the way I kind of cope with stress is, like, well, it's obviously the normal thing is, like, exercise and things like that. But, like, you just need to take a step back. Like, not everything, you don't have to do education all day. You don't have to go straight home and, like, study and research some more, like, you know.
Perspective just helps.
Yeah, exactly, like, you know.
And so, a bit more balance.
I you know, there's apps and everything out there. Like, Headspace is one of the main things that I did, you know.
Yeah, so you found meditation as a great tool for you after the period where your hair was falling out. You used that, did you?
Yeah, I used meditation. But it shouldn't have been the case, if you get me.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have been so stressed that I had to, oh God, I better take a step back. I'm losing my hair. I better use an app here now and calm myself down. Like, it should have been, you know, progressive learning. It should have been, you know, step by step and, you know, using my knowledge rather than just constantly memorizing. Like, even if it's a memorized test.
Yeah.
You know, it's based on your memory. It's not on what you know.
Audrey, thanks so much for sharing that. Best luck with your masters.
Thanks a million.
Hopefully you'll get in and revolutionise the education system.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Thanks, Audrey.
Thanks a million. Cheers.
Bye-bye.
John on Twitter says, hey, Dermot, if Dave can't say inspo, should you really be referring to merch?
Good point. I stand corrected, said the man in the orthopaedic shoes.
Thanks as well for the text message in from Alan. Who sent me on the link to my tuxi tracksuit onesie suit, which I kind of went, oh, why is he sending me that? I've already got one. And then I realised there's a 50% sale on the moment.
More tuxies for me. So a tuxi, just to remind everybody.
So it's a tracksuit onesie. So you get into it like you get into a onesie. You step into it and pull it up over
you. It's nothing to do with a tux. That's what always confuses
everybody.
Yeah,
no, it is a strange name, all right. No, it looks like a two-piece tracksuit, like dark grey tracksuit bottoms and a light grey hoodie, but it zips kind of at an angle so you can get your whole body into the legs. And then because it's a onesie, there's no untucking of anything ever, which increases your coziness, and it just looks really cool.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the second part, but
it's a tracksuit. It looks as cool as any tracksuit.
You wear it to work the odd time.
I do.
You kind of look like you're a little baby in your jammies.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm going for.
like there's a reason we don't wear grow bags and onesies to work, because we look like babies.
Look, if I can't wear a onesie to work on the radio where there's no... I'm working on the radio. This is all to get. La, 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 la. I can wear whatever I want. So then onesies is the way forward.
Take a leaf out of Ian Dempsey's book. He always looks smart, always looks cool and hip in his leather jacket.
Sure does. And Matt Cooper as well is always rocking around in either a great shirt or a really good suit. And I am bringing the tone of the place right down.
Yeah, you're barely dressed.
Yeah.
You're in your pyjamas.
That's
essentially
effectively what I want to be doing.
Coming up in a few minutes, we don't care what you're wearing, as long as you laugh along. We've got Say Stuff That Suits the Music on the way on Today FM.
Say stuff that suits the music.
Say stuff that suits the music.
Say stuff that suits the music.
Right, Say Stuff That Suits the Music is pretty straightforward, does what it says in the tin. I'm Dave, I play pieces of music to Dermot, he hasn't heard them before, and he says stuff off the top of his head he thinks suit those pieces of music.
Do your worst.
Okay, let's do this.
Oh, that's good. That's good stuff.
Oh, hi. Here at Irish Water. We really care about the quality of your... Here, do you want to hit off that? We really care about the quality of your water.
Tony, there's sewage pouring into the main tank.
Oh, whatever, just tell them to boil everything.
This week on RTE, a brand new series. You've heard of Ireland's fittest family. Now we're looking for Ireland's unfittest family. Meet the O'Briens. They haven't left the house since 1990. And they've eaten everything. And what about the Sheehys? They're still in bed since 1845. This week on Future Tech, we look at the greatest new phones coming in from China. How about the one made especially for Irish mammies? And it just says, one big button on the front and you press it and it says, are you eating enough? And what about a phone for wives? It just has a big button that says, where are you? You said you'd be home by now. And what about the one for dads? Test, are you receiving this? Kanye West is back with a new song about going to Extravision.
Yeah, I praise Jesus for the time in Extravision. I never remember to rewind my tapes. They find my ass. Every time I went back, they find me. I rented 5 videos in one day. I watched it till my eyes bled. And then they sold me coke in a weird-shaped bottle. And then I ate ice cream and overpriced popcorn. Praise Jesus for Extravision.
Okay, listen up, here's the plan. I'll take the front door, you take the back. Tom, you're on the windows. We meet in the sitting room at 0400 hours. Remember, gentlemen, we have to turn on the PS4 and FIFA without my wife waking up. Roger that. Come on, let's go. Oh, God, you dropped the nachos.
Who's that? Is that you? You better not be your friends. Dermot and Dave.
Such a little challenge there. Said, what movie am I going to see in the cinema tonight? Reckon nobody will get it. Dermot, have you had any guesses?
No, I forgot about it.
Last Christmas, says somebody. No. Sliding Doors, says Anthony in Clondalkin. No. Legally Blonde. No, but I would definitely go see that. The Joker, Zombieland, Babe, Pig in the City.
Wizard of Oz.
No. Elf got a guess as well. No, one person, Shane in Cork, did get it right. I am going along to see, in the cinema tonight, Slayer. Basically, they have a short movie called The Repentless Killology. It's three movies, three together, it's a trilogy, Killology. And then, when that's over, there's a full live concert. Like a 2-hour Slayer gig in the cinema. It's going to be so amazing.
Well, I think it'll be brilliant for you and the other person there.
Yes, the other person there is Dunica. No. He's my oldest metal friend. We're friends since we were 12. We've been in every band together. And Slayer are a massive part of our lives together. And we're going tonight. I cannot wait. Oh, yeah. Sorry about the swear words. Yeah, so that's what I'll be doing tonight. I cannot wait. Repentless Killology. Shane and Cork, are you going as well?
Would it not be Killology as opposed to Trilogy? Would that not make more sense?
Don't Can you question call up Slayer.
Slayer and tell them?
Yeah.
The Repentless Killology would make more sense.
I won't call up Slayer and tell them anything. They're too terrifying. But that's what I'll be doing this evening. Shane, let me know if you're going as well. He's so class. Right, here's Love and Lonely with Anne-Marie. Because, you know, it just reminds me of Slayer.
I'll tell you what my dog ate in a minute.
Okay.
My dog last night ate half a pound of butter with the tinfoil.
It was fattening up for the winter, lads.
This is a small, like, Jack Russell mongrel. And the only thing on the table, because I cleaned the table, was the butter. But it was in a butter dish. Like, it had a heavy ceramic lid on top of it. And it was in the foil. And we came into the kitchen. The dish is on the floor. And he's just looking delighted with himself. And he ate the whole thing.
I'm sorry. The thing we have to talk about is the fact that you keep the wrapper on the butter in a butter dish.
Don't get me started. Don't get me started on that thing.
Oh, you don't want?
No, I don't want. Okay, but it keeps happening. Anyway, that's not the issue. The issue is the dog ate the butter, the block of butter with the foil.
But he'll just poo the foil out and then he'll just be super slick inside.
And 2 stone heavier.
Yeah, but like, that's what dogs need to do this time of year. You know, they've got to stay cozy.
I think my dog has been possessed by the spirit of Homer Simpson. Only he could eat that much butter in one go.
Let me tell you about Eileen McKenzie and her swinging on a tree, like a rope out of a tree, and singing a very important song.
It's Eileen's daughter.
Oh, sorry, Eileen's daughter.
Yeah.
Do you know Eileen's daughter's name?
No.
No. So Eileen McKenzie's daughter is swinging on a rope, on a tree, and singing a very important song. That's like the best remix we could possibly have had. Yeah. Like the height of the last note is unachievable.
It's Mariah Carey-esque. There's nothing like the freedom of swinging on a good rope off a good branch of a tree when you get that proper arc.
Yeah,
you know, because you spend all your life on these little stubby swings in playgrounds, but when you actually get on the end of a long rope and you get that big long arc of a swing, it's so cool.
One of my proudest achievements is building a swing for my kids in our back garden that didn't exist. There was no swing, and now there's a swing. I built it. So far, there've already been several injuries, so it's fine. Yeah. It's totally fine. Speaking of screaming cheese and crackers at the top of your voice, we will be doing cheese and crackers, of course, later on today, just after 11 o'clock. And my suggestion, or my cheese and crackers choice today has been suggested by a listener, and it's to celebrate somebody's birthday. I had a birthday during the week, and I was like, oh my God, amaze.
Like the artist had a birthday.
Yeah, had a song. So I'm not going to tell you yet, but I'll tell you after 11 what it is.
I'm open to any cracker suggestions. Mm. If anybody wants to suggest a cracker. I lost with Stone Temple Pilots on Tuesday. Still pretty devastated about that.
You just play this.
Chicken crackers.
I think you'd be pretty good, in fairness.
That's what I want to be doing now. How many of you listening, whatever you're doing, whether it's housework or normal work, or maybe you're with someone you'd rather not be with, how much would you like to be now in a forest swinging off a rope on a tree?
Can we get quantifications, please? Is it 79%?
I would wager.
How high is your desire?
Everybody would like to be doing that. She's a crack as well. Right now.
087-4100-102 if you want to drop us a text or a WhatsApp about anything. I presume she's knocking about for a few minutes, is she?
Noni.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she's quite upset. I'm not sure if she mightn't even come in. Yeah, something wrong with one of her pets.
Right, we'll get to Noni in a few minutes, hopefully, if she makes an appearance. Liam Gallagher, now that I've found you, it's Dermot and Dave on Today FM. If you haven't listened to our interview with Liam Gallagher that we did last month or so, you have to go and check it out. It's available on podcast. Obviously, you can go and have a listen back anywhere. If you check out Today FM's app, of course, the Today FM app, you can look it there.
Or Go Loud!
Go Loud, another one. You can get it and anywhere you get podcasts, you can listen back to it. But he was in rare form when we were chatting to him. So definitely worth having a listen. Someone who's definitely not in rare form this morning is Aaron Noni, who's a little bit... Well, you okay, Noni?
How are you, kid? How's it going? Yeah, Dr. Terrible, you know, I haven't been able to sell out any of my chocolates today.
What's wrong?
Oh, Francis, my pet raven. He's an injured wing after Halloween.
What happened to him?
Yeah, he was hurted by a banger.
No.
Yeah, he was. Took an unmerciful belt.
Did someone throw a banger at poor Francis?
No, he was trying to put it in a letterbox when it went off. Oh, there was feathers everywhere.
Well, I'm sorry, I don't have sympathy. You get what you deserve. It's not very good behaviour.
It's not his fault, the poor creature. He's after falling in with the wrong crowd.
Who?
A rook from Caherdevin. Yeah. An awful influence. And a wren from Mungret.
A wren?
Yeah, yeah.
Are they a bad element?
Oh, listen, wrens are the worst. They're little ghouls.
Really?
Oh, yeah. That's right, Francis. And there's one of them birds with spots on the front.
Thrush.
Not since I cut back on the sugar. Thanks for asking.
Naughty!
Well, listen, it's very difficult, you know. I think any of the parents listening now would know. I mean, I tried to keep him in at night, but he just sneaks out the window and goes off around the town.
Right.
Yeah.
What's he do?
He's getting up to all kinds of no good and hijinks, skullduggery, and worst of all, tomfoolery.
Tomfoolery.
Oh, hold on.
What's that?
I better take this.
Yeah.
Hold on. Yeah, hello? Yeah, it's Noni. Yeah. Oh my God. Lady, you sure? Okay, I'll be down there. All right, bye bye. What? Sorry, lads, I have to go.
Who's that?
That's the desk sergeant down at Henry Street Garda Station. Oh,
for God's sake, is Francis in more trouble now?
No, the sergeant's taking me for lunch. He's an unmerciful ride. Oh, I don't care.
Noni was just in. There's a text in and it says, lads, I was in Cork yesterday and I saw Noni loves Jamie written on a wall in a car park. Does the desk sergeant know about Jamie? Maybe Jamie is the desk sergeant.
Could be. We'll have to. She's gone out of here anyway. She seems to have forgotten about Francis and she's all excited about this lunch date. Mm. Noni, says Will Fogarty, just to let you know, Francis was spotted in hospital, County Limerick.
Oh.
That's the place, not the actual hospital. Mm. And he sent a picture of a raven.
It's a beautiful picture of a raven.
It looks like it's carved out of wood.
Lads, you can listen back to Noni on todayfm.com. I can barely see the raven. I got glasses in June and they're not really working for me. They're not doing what I thought they'd do. Like, I can't see that well. And then when I don't have them on, everything's kind of completely blurry. So yesterday I went to an optician, another one, and went, here, what's the crack? And then he looked at me, did a test my eyes, and then went, you just need to wear glasses all of the time. You're a glasses wearer now.
You're specky four eyes.
Yeah, I am specky four eyes. And you know what? I'm fine with that. Because when they put the glasses on that he recommended, I could see into the future. It was so clear. I was like, oh my God, amazing. So I am going to get a pair of varifocals, which is what I need
Woo!
Now. And I'm going to go and order them today. And I don't know when I'll get them, but a few days' time. And then I'll be a glasses wearer from now till the end of time.
Will you please do a Francis Brennan on it and wear them on a chain around your neck?
Absolutely. With my luminous yellow jumper and a gold chain around my neck. Yes, I will. So I'm actually genuinely looking forward to it because I've been struggling for a while now with seeing and particularly driving and stuff. So
I think you're mostly struggling with how delicate you think your glasses are because for some reason you put them on and take them off with all the delicate gentleness of an archaeologist taking some Egyptian relic out of a tomb for the first time.
Is that just Dermot Sean or do I do that? Like when I just take them on and off?
Yeah, like they're made of gelignite.
Yeah, you do.
I do.
Like it's okay. They're sturdy enough.
Oh, no,
like
these
they're
are
not going to snap in your hands.
They're like titanium or something. Like they're very futuristic, these ones. But I just don't want to break them.
Yeah.
Look, I've never had glasses before. I don't remember. I had them when I was 5 for a year and I wore a patch and all. And never did anything.
Wear the patch again. They can call you Apache.
I could easily wear the patch because the left eye does nothing anyway. Like, it's never done anything. That's fine.
A patch for your glasses?
Yes. Make a patch for my glasses.
Maria, you know what to do. It's arts and crafts time.
We haven't played Dermot Kennedy yet. When you hear Dermot Kennedy this week with Dermot and Dave on Today FM, you need to text or WhatsApp the word Dermot to 0874100102. And then you can win yourself tickets to go and see him. He's playing Summer 2020, Friday the 26th of June. He's in Malahide Castle and the 27th. He's in the Independent Park in Cork. So get texting when you hear Dermot Kennedy on Dermot and Dave on Today FM between now and 12 o'clock. If anyone has any glasses tips for me, I'd appreciate that. 0874100102. I'm going to have them on forever now. Like
contacts. Can you wear contacts if you have varifocal needs?
I don't know. Is there such a thing? No, there couldn't be such a thing as varifocal contacts. Maybe there is.
They're different. They're not just different prescriptions for each eye.
No, varifocals is the lens on the glass has three different kind of viewing. So if I need to read something, I'll tilt my head up and look down. And if I need to see Maria far away, I'll tilt my head down and look through. Like, you know what I mean? I think I've never had them before.
That's so exciting. For you.
It is for me. Loads of texts in on 0874100102 about my glasses, Dermot. Varifocals are the best. I've been wearing them for a year.
Yeah, Deccan Tip says, let's hope Dave doesn't order his specs from China like he does everything else.
There's an idea.
Please do.
Someone else was saying, Maria, I think it was you, were saying, can you get varifocal contact lenses? And I said, I don't know. Well, Kim's been on to us. Oh, you can't hear Kim.
Hey guys, yes, you can get contact lenses for varifocal needs. Multifocal contact lenses are better than they've ever been, and they're quite comfy. Congrats on this milestone, Dave. Keep taking your glasses off delicately. They'll last you that way. Don't mind your man.
Yeah, I won't mind your man. He's slagging off my yellow jumper, and now he's slagging off the way I take
it's
my glasses
just the
on
way
and off.
You touch your glasses like they're the last pair on Earth, and all the glass repair specialists have been wiped out by some virus.
Karen in Mullingar says, Dave, don't mind, Dermot. You're a fine example to what care should be taken of glasses. I work in Specsavers. Ambassador And yes, you can get varifocal contact lenses.
Well, in fairness, all you got to do is look at all my glasses.
Yes, you've got 8 pairs.
I do, because I keep losing them. So I like have to have one in the car, like
one in the office, one in your pocket.
My office, one in the office here, and then in my pocket. I never use a case, and all of my glasses, the arms are pointing in different directions.
When he puts them on, he's got that lopsided glasses thing, which is extremely humorous for the rest of us.
I also have to regularly bend them back into shape, but all of them are approaching that critical point where they've been bent and then rebent so many times that the metal is just hitting that critical point.
Apparently, some of the contacts, you can wear like a far-sighted lens in your strong eye and a weak lens in your weaker eye so that you can read and see distance. But I can't do that because I only
Iron Man.
Well, I only have one eye that works, so I can't wear two different contact lenses. It's not going to make any difference in my left eye.
You shouldn't be driving. Oh my God, your insurance premiums. You need to tell the insurance company.
What?
You need to charge Dave more. He's blind. He's practically blind. I don't think he's been honest on his forms.
I found out yesterday evening. How quickly do I have to contact my insurance company?
Dave's blind. Okay, he needs to get a lift everywhere.
Ring them now.
Calvin Harrison, Rihanna, This Is What You Came For. Dermot and Dave on Today FM.
Great song about dinosaurs, that.
What?
Songs about dinosaurs.
Calvin Harrison, Rihanna's song is about dinosaurs.
Yeah, she mentions Triceratops in that. Triceratops.
Yeah. That was Triceratops.
Yeah.
Jesus. Triceratime.
Can anyone hear Triceratops?
No, just you.
Okay. Dave's world. If we don't let him do it, he gets ratty.
Okay, groking. What is groking? Let's have a guess around the table. Let's start with Dermot.
Is it a mixture of a growl and a croak?
It's not, Maria.
Is it groping and...
under a cloak?
Cackling.
No, it's not, John.
I just see the answer.
You saw the answer because he looked over my shoulder. Groking is the act of watching people eat food, hoping you'll get some. So your dog, Buddy, definitely does it to you. And your son, Rian, definitely does it to you.
He does, yeah.
And I definitely do it to other people all the time.
Dave does it to us at lunch.
Yeah.
It's really
my dog
weird.
Buddy doesn't wait and hope he gets food. Sure, he ate a block of butter with the tin foil on it.
Fairness to him.
He just goes in and eats it.
Sleeping on your stomach can induce weirder, scarier, and sexier dreams. Maybe this is why I don't remember. I cannot sleep on my stomach. I really want to. I love the feeling of like my weight pushing down on my front, but I can't. My arms can't cope with it. They just go dead after about 5 minutes. And then I'm like floppy trying to turn off my alarm and all. It doesn't work. So I have to just lie back on my side. You sleep on your front, don't you, Dermot?
I'll sleep on anyone's front. I'm not fussy.
I think that's groking.
You do though, don't you? Or you can.
Yeah, I generally do. I think I have a healthy mixture of front, back and side.
Well, would you like to, over the next week or a couple of weeks, maybe do a little science experiment and see if you get weirder, scarier, sexier dreams when you're lying on your front.
Okay,
thanks.
Sorry, what do other people do with their hands? Like, how come everybody doesn't have your problem?
So, you
must not be very flexible, your arms.
I don't know. Like, you put them under your pillow or whatever, up above you. But then the blood, like, my heart won't pump the blood up to my hands then.
I'd have that looked at.
They just, like, they go all like, pins and needlesy and then numb.
What, like, are you holding them in the air or something? Like,
no,
like,
where are you putting your arms when you lie on your front? Where are you putting? Where are your arms?
Yeah, one is kind of out to the side and the other one's up.
See, I can't put them up. So that's why then I end up back in my side and then my arms are like the running man.
Yeah.
Or like a chalk outline of a dead body. That's what I'm like when I'm asleep.
Why can't you? So you couldn't lie down like I just lie on your hands?
No. Can't do it.
You get no blood to your hands.
No.
So what? Did you never have to do that in school? You know, they say, put your head down.
Oh, no. Like that, no, that's down. Okay. Like that. If I'm just putting my head down on my hands. But it's when you're lying and you're putting your hands above your head, like through your, under your pillow and out the other side kind of thing.
You can't do that.
No. It's disappointing because I love the feeling of it. I'll be honest with you. I also can't let any of my skin touch any other part of my skin. Of any, like any
what?
Part, I can't touch any part of me when I'm trying to go to sleep. So I can't, like, have.
See, you can't sleep in the nudies. Obviously.
Jesus, no. Like,
I have to have every bit not touching. Like, you know the way sometimes your leg might go up near your tummy? Forget it. Cannot cope. Has to be.
Can you even leave a hand on your chest?
No.
What?
No. I have to. Everything has to be like separate from each other, which is why I totally can't sleep nudies.
Everything has to be set. You need your own bed and you need to just starfish it.
Is it because of like filthy, dirty, guilty Catholic?
No. What? Jesus, no. I've long progressed past that. Thanks very much.
Don't be touching yourself.
I don't know. I
even put your hand on your arm.
I find
it's dirt. God, Jesus can see you.
I find it's just kind of too hot. It's too like it's too sweaty or something.
If I want to fall asleep quickly, I will do.
Listen to Dave's World.
Yeah. Oh, it never fails. One leg, like the sole of my foot on the side of the other knee.
But you're touching yourself.
Well, one leg.
Okay, I know what you mean.
So my foot.
So your legs are in the shape of a P. A capital P.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's actually, if I was standing up, it would be tree pose in yoga. But whatever that does for me, I go, oh, this is where I need to be.
Gone to sleep.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, you're touching your foot's touching your leg. That's
like you're touching yourself.
Cannot.
How are you with other people touching you when you're trying to go to sleep?
Touch away. No issues. It's just my own. Like, I can't, I don't want to.
And touch also, your filthy
also,
self.
Also, you know, if you breathe on your, if you know if your hand is near your head on your pillow or whatever, and you go, and you breathe on your skin, can't do it. I have to pull the blanket up over my skin so that I can only breathe onto the blanket.
I don't understand the difference between like someone else's hand being on you and your own hand being on you.
Someone else's hand is always hotter.
Yeah.
Other people are always hotter.
No one's touched me in years. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe, I suppose, because I suppose you do kind of fall asleep kind of like, oh, this is kind of nice. And then after a while, someone turns and it just ends.
Yeah. But you sleep in the cupboard under the stairs.
No, just I have a little outhouse. Remember, I built it recently.
Or sometimes, don't you? You sleep in the bathroom in here.
Occasionally, yeah. Standing up in the shower.
In the yoga tree pose.
Yeah, fully clothed. That's the only way I'll do it. Big reaction to Dave's World and all my admittances about my sleep strangeness. Someone says, Dave, I could deal with a lap blanket thing. I could even deal with you sitting down when peeing, but you're getting more weird every day. The white goats are coming.
I know. I wish we were doing the live tour because a whole section of that was dedicated to weird things about Dave. God, if we'd known that he can't sleep lying down because all the blood drains from his arms.
Well, I'm not the only one. Dave, I wake with pins and needles and numb hands too. It's so annoying. Yes, I know how you feel, Dave, with your arms when you sleep. If you sleep like that, you get noodle arm. You do. Your arms and your alarm's going beep, 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 and you're just slapping your own self in the face trying to turn it off because you can't control your arm.
And that's not even without lying on your arm so it goes dead, no? Just because it's above you.
Yeah, but I suppose you're lying, like you're probably your head is on a bit of your arm because you're putting it through the pillow.
No, you're doing it wrong.
Have you got someone says Dave needs lying down lessons. Maybe I do.
I think you do. Either that or you've got the heart pumping capacity of a pigeon.
Trucker Jim says, Dave, your head is too big. I mean heavy. The pressure of your head on your arms is slowing blood flow to your hands. Don't have your arms under your head. Have them to the side and free. Oh, I can't do it to the side and free. Like, because then your chin starts going super crazy.
You'd need to cut a hole like one of a massage
table.
Yeah,
that would work.
Well, Alison,
just look down into your mattress.
Alison just said she's going to let Dermot teach you how to lie on your front on Instagram.
Okay.
On our stories.
On Dave's World before, I did do a story about a mattress that was sliced. So the mattress was comfortable to lie on and maintained its shape. But up at the top around your pillow area, there were slices in the mattress that you could put your arms in the mattress so that you weren't actually lying.
No. Nobody wants
on
to put
them.
Your arms inside the mattress. That's gross.
I'm just saying it exists.
Where would all my money go then?
That's the most Eden Derry thing she's ever said. Maria Devereaux, you want to do something.
Bank.
You want to do something next?
Yes, I have the ultimate gentleman test.
Oh.
So I'm going to ask you a couple of questions and you're going to tell me whether you can or can't do these things,
right.
And that's what makes you a gentleman. I'll give you a little teaser.
And can all the folks play along at home?
Oh, absolutely, if they like.
Well, 50% of the gender.
I'll give you one.
I wish you would.
Never let a door slam in someone's face.
Oh, I definitely would make sure that didn't happen.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah.
Not so sure about Dermot.
even he knows he wouldn't.
Depends on my mood.
Before we move on to Maria's gentleman test, Kieran's been on Twitter to say, Dave, I completely agree with you. I can't sleep with any part of me touching another part of me, and I sleep in the running man position, and I also create more heat than the surface of the sun. I think maybe that's what it is. Like, I'm so into coziness that I think I generate my own coziness, and that it's too hot if any part of me is touching another part of me. So I just need to get into that running man position and then I'm fine. So I'm not alone. That's good to know, Kieran. Thank you.
We've just been giving Dave lying down lessons, as suggested by one of our lovely listeners in studio. We just filmed it, so that's going to pop up on Today FM social in the next few minutes. So yeah, keep an eye on that, Today FM. We're trying to teach Dave. Didn't go too well.
No, I'm not happy with it. But Maria, anyway, has a gentleman test to test whether or not Dermot and Dave are gentlemen or indeed something else. So what have you got for us, Maria?
Oh, nice music.
Thanks.
Gentlemanly. So this is a list from Country Life, the magazine.
Oh, the Country magazine, yeah.
39 things that make you a gentleman. I'd argue, could they not just find another one and make it 40? You know, an even 40.
Or maybe, 19 less and make it 20. Maybe 39 is a gentlemanly number. Maybe we don't know it's gentlemanly.
Maybe it's very ungentlemanlike of me to ask for a 40th.
Never question a list.
I won't read you all the 39, but I'm going to ask you some of them.
Okay.
And I'm going to give you a tick for every one that you get, and we'll see which of you is more gentleman than the other.
Okay, go.
So I did the never slam a door in someone's face.
Okay, we're going with a tick for Dave and not for Dermot. Can't trust him.
Depends who's in the doorway.
Shouldn't matter.
Yes.
Can train a dog and a rose.
Ooh.
Can train a rose, as in the Rose of Tralee.
No, like the rose flower.
Like a rose.
To grow it and tend to it and look after it. Whatever. I would say no, I don't enjoy gardening under any sense. Like, I absolutely detest it, so I would say no to that.
I did have an allotment for a few years, so possibly I have the capability of tending to a rose. And there are rose bushes in my garden that have not yet died. So okay. I think that's a result.
Okay. But no, but he did hire someone to train his dog, so he can't do that. So he can't do both.
Okay, I have to give you an X then. You can't have a tick. Where's his learning lightly? Dave, you absolutely don't have this.
Oh, like, is that like not being...
You brag.
Yeah, not being obnoxious about things you know. Yes. That's like my number one personality trait. What are you talking about?
You don't have that. What about you, Dermot?
I don't have that.
Okay. You just didn't learn. So you can't brag about it.
I don't understand the question.
You didn't learn.
You definitely don't get a tick then. Possesses at least one well-made dark suit, one tweed suit and a dinner jacket.
Let's talk about suits with me.
Dermot gets a tick for that.
Dermot has all of these.
I own all of those.
And Dave gets an X.
I look like such a weirdo in a suit.
Okay. Turns his mobile to silent at dinner.
Everyone's mobile's on silent all the time. Who has a ringtone?
Mine only is when I'm in the studio. And I'm the annoying one that goes click, 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 when I'm typing.
I would say I always have it on silent, so yeah.
Yeah, we're gentlemen on that count.
Oh, very good. Carries house guests' luggage to their rooms.
Oh, I always do that.
Okay. Dave, you definitely don't.
What are you talking about? How house guests need help with their luggage being carried to their room?
My mother-in-law. If she comes over, I bring her bag upstairs.
It's my elderly parents in Lockmore. Yes, of course I bring their suitcases upstairs. Okay.
Oh no, you were too late.
Yeah, I did give you an X already.
Oh, give me a tick now, you tick.
That's not very gentlemanlike. knows when to clap.
Hell yeah, I lead all the rounds of applause in this studio.
Knows when to clap.
When?
What?
What?
Dermot lost.
Here, here. Order!
Arrives at a meeting 5 minutes before the agreed time.
Me, yes. Him, never.
Yeah, okay.
It's a gentlemanly to make an entrance.
Has two tricks to entertain children.
Oh, I'm very good. I can take my thumb off, or my finger off. I did that in the Today FM ad.
You did.
All kids love that. That's one. And then two, I can juggle.
Okay.
Oh, I can make coins appear out of their ears.
Very good.
And I can make a tissue disappear in my hand.
He just eats it in front of the children. They run away crying.
I like this one. Sings lustily in church.
We're lapsed Catholics. We've never sang lustfully in our lives.
Okay, a tick for that.
Except for Away in a Manger. I probably gave that a good old belt.
No.
Can sail a boat and ride a horse?
No and yes. I've ridden a horse plenty of times. I've never sailed.
Can't
a boat.
Have a tick if you don't have them both.
Okay, well then no.
No.
Okay. Never kisses and tells.
I would say that's true for me. Never kisses and tells. Dermot's always telling about the girls he's kissing around. <as well. laughs>
Hey Dave, kissed my wife last night. Tongues and everything.
Had that conversation this morning. Pretty weird.
Cooks an omelette to die for.
I am a good cook, but I cannot cook an omelette. I cannot get it. I cannot get it right.
You taught me how to make an omelette in Poland at the Euros.
God, you must
and
be
now
in a
I
bad
make an,
way.
I make an excellent omelette.
Well, I must have
because of you.
I must have given you my skills because I do not possess them. I've tried to make them recently in the last two or three years. Wrecked every time.
Well, then I am a gentleman on the egg front.
Okay. I've three more for you.
Go for it.
Knows when to use an emoji.
100% yes, me. Dermot.
I'm a reasonable emoji user. Often, I don't go deep into the selection.
Well, often you will send irrelevant emojis
that's
on purpose.
That's my favourite.
Yeah, like the rat and the ant.
Yeah, but just them. Like, I don't know if that qualifies as knowing when to use them.
Yes, it is.
The eggplant,
using them for
Dermot.
A gentlemanly
go
humour.
On, give him a tick. Go on, go
right.
On.
Knows the difference between a rook and a crow.
Well,
I feel like Dermot will know this, but Dave won't.
Well, sure, Noni was even mentioned a rook this morning in the show.
Mm.
And I obviously told her about that.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, then can you please explain to me what the difference between a rook and a crow is?
No, I don't know. I don't have the answer.
It's the hood. The rook's hood is different from that of a crow.
Like, are you being serious?
And it has a longer beak.
A crow's feathers cover the face and top of beak. A rook has a bare face. Give it to him.
That's like a hood.
Absolutely
yeah, okay.
Talking shy, but give it
yeah,
to him.
Yeah, the hood.
Yeah.
And the
hood.
Last one, sandals? No, never.
No, I wear Crocs though.
Yeah, you're not getting a point. You get.
He wears Crocs. You have to remove all his gentleman points. You get nothing, as Willy Wonka said. Nothing.
No, keep them in, but don't give me any for sandals because I do wear Crocs. What's the score?
Dave, you got 7.
Mm-hmm.
Dermot, you got 10.
I am a true gentleman. You, sir, are a cad.
Yeah, well, two of you can shove it up your... Here's Usher on
today. Up our tweed suits.
Listen back to more from the Dermot and Dave Show on todayfm.com. Dermot and Dave, weekday mornings from 9 a.m. on Today FM.